Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. As many of you may be aware, Stephen Hawking died on March 14th of this year as one of the most brilliant physicists ever to walk the face of this planet. His international bestseller, A Brief History of Time, it sold over 10 million copies and made him as recognizable to the common person as Albert Einstein. And yet he never won a Nobel Prize, and he was confined to a wheelchair for 5 decades as he suffered from ALS since the age of 21. But that didn't deter his optimism and his humor. Some found him to be the funniest man they knew, as he noted, life would be tragic if it weren't funny. Hawking was a genius who never saw the need for God. Without antagonism toward faith, he matter-of-factly declared that he didn't believe there was a God, and that he's not an atheist, and that he is an atheist. He said, "We're just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet of a very average star, and I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail." He said, "There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That's a fairy story for people afraid of the dark." Dr. Hawking defied all the odds of his disease as he outlasted for 50 years beyond what doctors expected him to do. During that time, he pursued his unified theory to explain the universe both physically and existentially, because as he said, one can't help asking the question, why does the universe exist? He said that when his theory of everything, the 2014 title of a movie about him, was discovered, then humankind would know the mind of God. It was noted by a renowned physician that Hawking was the perfect mind trapped in an imperfect body. And Hawking wisely said, "The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, it is the illusion of knowledge." Sadly, this brilliant man allowed his illusion of knowledge about God to keep him from an eternal relationship with the Creator who created the creation he studied. And despite his brilliance and his long fight against death, he was unable to prevent it from taking him in the end. This famous physicist said, "In the long run, the human race should not have all its eggs in one basket," when he was talking about our planet. And yet Easter reminds us that there is only one basket in which to put your eggs. And true brilliance will recognize that reality. See, it's only Jesus who overcomes death. And it's only Jesus who brings eternal life and a relationship with God. See, whether we choose to ignore it or not, death has affected us all and is affecting us all. Maybe you lost a loved one recently, or someone you know is sick, or maybe you just found out from the doctor that your time is limited. See, whatever it is, we can try pushing death away. We can say, no, it doesn't exist. You know, we can hire people to take care of our dead so that we don't have to see them and put them in nice, pretty coffins and make them look as lifelike as possible so that we don't have to confront the brutal reality of our end. And yet, there it comes. Death is final, and it leaves little hope for anything else. When you look at it looming over the horizon, you think, what could there possibly be beyond that? What happens when I cease to exist? Many of us, we may look around at the world and we may say, is this all there is? Is this all I have to look forward to? What's the point of living here? What's the point of this world? What's the point of my life? And in fact, if we don't believe in God, if we let death just be something that does not hold any hope for us, then we have to ask ourselves, why do our hardships matter? What's the point? We have to ask ourselves, why should we care about other people? What's the point in caring about others if in the end nothing happens anyways? We just cease to exist. We're all just computers, animals. What's the point?
Even as we try to fill our lives with things that will make us happy now, we must still ask the question, if there's nothing after death, then why should I bother pursuing pleasure? Why should I bother with anything good? Because I'm not going to remember it in the end. It does nothing in the end. And so this hopelessness can begin to wash over us as we think about what is in store. And yet I want to tell you today that the message of Easter is one of great hope for all of humanity. There is one who is the resurrection and the life and who has defeated death. And he brings us hope. Will you join me just in praying shortly here? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to you and that we can remember Jesus. That we can remember your son who is now sitting at your right hand in heaven. We can remember his death on the cross and that furthermore we can remember that he did not stay dead but that he rose again from the grave, victorious over death, winning the day and bringing us hope and the ability to trust that what he has said is true. Today, Lord, will you just impress upon our hearts the importance of this moment? The importance of what Jesus did. And Lord, will you bring us to a place of hope in him? God, today I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at the book of John in the Bible, chapter 11. So if you have a Bible with you today and would like to follow along with us in your Bible, go ahead and go to that, John chapter 11. If you're here today and you have a mobile device with you, you'd like to follow along with us on that and take your own notes and read the scripture on that, just go in your mobile browser to ascc.life. You'll see a message notes tile there. And if you tap on that, it's going to take you to where you can follow along with us. And so if you're online, I'd recommend that you do that right now. And as well, if neither of those options sounds great to you, we're also going to put everything on the screen if that's what you'd prefer. And I want to read this in just a second. But first, before I get there, some of you may be surprised at the choice of passage that we're reading today. You know, you come here and you're thinking, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus's resurrection. And we're going to talk about something about Jesus being in a tomb, Jesus rising again. And indeed, that's the point of why we're here. And yet, did you know that prior to Jesus' own death and resurrection, that he made a point in a big way that he is the resurrection and the life with his friend Lazarus? And so we're going to read this together. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation today just because it's a little bit more friendly to the ears. And so let's go ahead and read this together. Then Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. And so he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. And when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she came to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises, at the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." And then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to speak with you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. And so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." And Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me." And then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." There's a few things I want to point out in this passage here as we look at what it's saying. The first thing is, I want you to notice that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Okay, so it's not like, you know, he maybe fell asleep and they went, "Oh, he must be dead," and stuck him in a tomb, and then Jesus just came and was like, "Hey, open the tomb," and he walked out. No, in Jewish culture, they believed that if someone was, you know, dead for 3 days, that the spirit of that person would still be in the tomb, would still be nearby and able to re-enter the body, but that on the fourth day, as decomposition set in, that things were done. If you hit the fourth day, that guy was dead. There was just no way that he could come back. And so there was no doubt in anyone's mind that Lazarus was gone. Even Martha's like, "Hey, we checked. He stinks. Like, don't open the tomb. You don't want to, Jesus." And so there's no doubt in our minds when we come to this text that when Jesus calls Lazarus from the grave, that Lazarus has been healed. Not just healed, but resurrected, raised to life again. Another thing that you may have noticed is that as Jesus is looking at Mary in her sorrow and her weeping and all the mourners wailing and crying and grieving, that it says that he becomes angry. And you might have thought, that's not very nice. Why would Jesus go and get angry at these people? And so I want to let you know, Jesus isn't angry at these people as they grieve. When you're grieving loss, Jesus is not angry at you. No, he feels for you. See, what I believe that Jesus was angry about here was the hopelessness that death had brought these people. Because see, this story here, it's a story about the resurrection and the life, Jesus, facing off against death itself. It's actually, it's a foretaste of what was to come with Jesus himself. And so we see that Jesus comes to the tomb, and after proclaiming himself the resurrection and the life, and there he is squared off. There's death and there's life. And as he calls to Lazarus, Jesus won. A short while later, maybe a week or two, Jesus would be nailed to a Roman cross after being beaten and bloodied. And an innocent man, he didn't do anything wrong. Even the one who condemned him to death said, "I find no fault in this man. He only did it to appease the crowds." So there was Jesus, the Son of God, God made flesh, back bloodied and ripped open, a crown of thorns on his head, nailed to a rough wooden cross and suspended until dead. The Roman soldiers, they came and they pierced his side, and they observed blood and water flowing separately from his side, and they knew that he was dead. These are professional executioners. There was no doubt in their mind, just like there was no doubt in the people's mind with Lazarus. Jesus was dead. And it seemed like death had gotten the last laugh. Like Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and death had lost a battle, but the death had won the victory because he'd taken out God. But then we find out that 3 days later, despite all the precautions put in place by the religious leaders, putting soldiers in front of the tomb, sealing the tomb, that Jesus rose again. Jesus rose again. Jesus won the victory. See, whether you look at the story of Lazarus and what Jesus did for him, or you look at the story of Jesus and what he did for us, the thing is clear that we can place our trust in him and find hope in him. Because not only did he die for us so that our sins would be placed on him and we would not have to bear the eternal consequence of our sin and the separation from God that it brings, but he rose again. So we don't have to trust in some dead guy, but we trust in someone who is risen. Someone who said that he would rise again. What he says is trustworthy. And yet, you may still be tempted when you hear about Jesus, and maybe this is the first time, maybe this is the 100th time that you've heard about Jesus, you may still be tempted to think, I just want to go out and live my life. You know, I can earn my own way there. I'm a good person inside, and I'm going to have some fun, but I'm also going to make sure that, you know, I volunteer at the homeless shelter and at the soup kitchen, and I give money to the food bank, and, you know, I just got to do enough good stuff, and then whatever fun I want to have, I can just have it. And I don't have to acknowledge that Jesus died for me. Because it's kind of a difficult thing to take, isn't it? That somebody else would die for you. Because then you owe him everything. But the truth is that we do. So you understand, when you try to find your own way through life, death is inevitable and nothing good lay beyond it. Okay, when you try to find your own way through life and you're like, you know what, Jesus, thanks so much for the cross, but I'm good. And you try to live your life, you may think that you have time, that you can just live your life, and maybe at the end you'll come back to Jesus, but you don't know how long you have. Death is inevitable. You can ignore it, but it's going to come, and nothing good lay beyond it for those who reject Jesus. But here's the great thing. Jesus has overcome the hopelessness of death with the hope-filled promise of eternal life. Let me say that again. If you have a piece of paper here, I'd recommend writing this down. Just make this something that you read over this week just to remind yourself of the hope you have in Jesus. Jesus has overcome the hopelessness of death with the hope-filled promise of eternal life. See, the fact of the matter is humanity is in a state of rebellion against God. God created us, and he made us to be in a relationship with him. We're told in Genesis that he used to walk through the garden in the cool of the day and just enjoy time with his creation. And yet, we chose a different path. We decided that we wanted to be like God, that we didn't just want to be his friends and those that he had given authority to take care of creation to. But we wanted to know what he knew. We wanted to be gods. And so we sinned. We did the one thing that he had told us from the beginning not to do. And in that moment, as sin entered the world, as we became a treasonous creation against the king of the universe, that connection between us and God was severed. But here's the amazing thing. God never gave up on me. He never gave up on you. He saw you at that moment, and his heart was grieved. And yet in that moment, he also knew that he would send his son. He would send his son for you. And in fact, as Adam and Eve stood there naked and ashamed, we're told that God killed a lamb and clothed them to cover their nakedness, to cover over their shame. And then thousands of years later, there came Jesus, the great and perfect lamb
who would die on that cross, and his blood would cover over our shame. It would cover over our nakedness, and it would give us hope and forgiveness, all because of the great love of God for those that he had made. He never gave up on you. He still hasn't given up on you. See, Jesus has overcome the hopelessness of death with the hope-filled promise of eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." And everlasting life, let me tell you, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to die physically. But what it means is that there's going to be that hole in your heart that only God can fill, and he's going to fill that with the life that you've been looking for. And you need to know that as your spirit comes to life, it's not just for right now, but when you pass away, your spirit will carry on in the presence of God, that you've been adopted as a child of your Creator. Not just some subject, but a child of God because of what Jesus did for you, if you'll only believe. Jesus has overcome the hopelessness of death with the hope-filled promise of eternal life. And I want you to imagine with me for just a second, even if you maybe close your eyes and just picture this. Picture going through life with the hope, with hope for the future and an assurance of greater things to come, even after this body dies, that you can look forward to the future with hope. Imagine what your life would look like if you could walk through life with that hope inside of you. If you could look forward and say, you know what, in the end, yeah, I don't want to die, but I'm so glad that God has offered me life beyond that. What does that do in your heart when you think of that? What does that picture look like to you? Because if that picture looks like something that is appealing to you, something that you're like, I got to get a hold of that. I want that for myself. I want you to know that in a moment, we're going to have a time where I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of commitment. It's not a magical little saying or anything like that. If you believe in Jesus and what he's done for you in your heart, and if you choose to follow him, then we're told in Scripture that you are saved. That you are what is called a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And God's call to you is that you would persevere in that calling. Jesus has overcome the hopelessness of death with the hope-filled promise of eternal life. Now, it may be tempting to drag your feet and try to squeeze out a few more days living for yourself. Because, you know, when you come to follow Jesus, we're told that we die to our old ways. We die to our old nature and we're risen again in Jesus Christ. That we get a new identity, one filled with hope and life. So maybe you're sitting there and you're like, I just want to be me for a little bit longer. I can always come to him later. And I want you to know, yes, as long as you draw breath, it is not too late for you to come to Jesus. There's nothing that you could have done in your life that would make Jesus look at you and say, you I didn't die for. It's easy to think that you can just put off the end, but listen, it comes sooner than you may be thinking. April 15th of last year ushered in a historical milestone. In fact, it's probably a day that none of you can even recall if you think back to last year on April 15th. But on that day, Emma Murano died in Italy at the age of 117 years old. Probably none of us knew her. If you did, I'd like to talk to you. I think that would be fascinating to know someone like this. But she was the last known person born in the 19th century. Although the 1800s were a long time ago, this quiet passing reminds us that a time comes for every generation when the last of them will be gone. And so you may think that you can put off death, and maybe you'll be like her. And you'll live for 117 years. But let me tell you, there's no guarantee. And even if you do, are you going to think that maybe you'll make it to 118 before you determine that you're going to grasp hold of that hope? Eventually, death comes for us all. But man, in Jesus, there's hope. In Jesus, there is life. So let me ask you, will this short life be one full of hope now and for the future? or will it be something else? Because Jesus is accepting you, or is calling you, just like he called Lazarus, to come out of the grave. And now he's just waiting for you to accept that call, to accept that call to life and walk out. Today, if you want that hope, then here's the one thing I want you to do this week. Place your hope in Jesus and choose to follow him. You know, this is the single most important moment of any person's life when they choose to place their hope in Jesus and follow him. And maybe you're here and you're like, I did that. But maybe you recognize that that hope has kind of waned, that your passion for Jesus is just kind of, you know, life has happened and you just have gone along with it and you're thinking, no, I need to get back to that hope. I need to follow Jesus for myself again. Or maybe this is the first time. If you're here and in this place, you want to dedicate your life to Jesus today and begin to follow him and accept this life, this hope that is only found in him, I'm going to invite everyone to close their eyes right now and bow your heads, no one looking around.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.